All right, cool. So, this humans are grappling, doing a little solo episode because someone didn't show up, and that's fine. Not a big deal. But I kind of wanted to talk about this anyway, of like the stakes of jiu-jitsu and jiu-jitsu competitions specifically. There's been a few examples of athletes getting their joints destroyed in competition. And it's, I mean, plenty. Like I saw a ton during the ADCC Open, and during not so much ADCC itself, somewhat, but I saw a number of like legitimate breaks in competitions recently. And people have feelings about this. I tend to lean towards, hey, why are we doing this? Like, yeah, the stakes are high in relative jiu-jitsu terms, where you have to go for the break because these are professional competitors and you have to highly encourage them to tap. And you're not going to be able to do that if they don't feel the threat of something actually happening. So they don't perceive the downside of not tapping. So we kind of acknowledge that jiu-jitsu is dangerous. Grappling is dangerous. Training is dangerous. Like, it can be highly managed in training. You shouldn't be getting hurt in training. But in competition, when there's what limited pool of money is on the line in jiu-jitsu, it's like your local Naga, you shouldn't be getting broken off at your local Naga. Like, that just shouldn't be happening. But at like higher level competitions, you might let some shit break. Like, that's the, oh, there we go. I fixed my lighting on, so hopefully this is better. But at higher level competitions, we're more subjected to people ripping on shit. And because the reward is so great, or relatively great in jiu-jitsu terms, right? So for example, this last EBI, the EBI tournament itself, absolute tournament, had a grand prize of 50 grand. So that's a good amount of money, but only one person is getting that. It's a strange winner-take-all aspect of the sport. Actually, let me just double check that really quickly before I start like talking out my ass. EBI 50K. Because Nicky Rod won it. Yeah, possible 50 grand grand prize. I think it's because it's a if you like submit everyone. Anyways, so let's call it 50 grand to the winner, for example. It's really on a relative jiu-jitsu basis. It's a lot of money, but on a real person basis, like, sorry to say, on a working professional basis, anybody with or without a degree is probably making with a degree, with a college, say 4-year college degree, you're making at minimum 50 grand, like working a 9-to-5 job. And this is kind of what I wanted to address with GoGo Grappling, is like enabling grapplers to make more money on a consistent basis. So this grand prize is cool for like a one-time like bonus, say for Nicky Rod. But for everyone else who didn't win that, and for everyone else who lost and who got hurt in the process, who got injured, who can't train this week or this month even, or this year or the rest of this year. I don't know. Like, depending on the severity of various people's injuries, they're putting their health on the line, and they're not getting paid for it, or not getting paid well for it. They don't have health insurance, or good health insurance for this. So these are the issues that people kind of are innately have feelings about, right? Like, when you crank on a submission in competition, yes, we are consenting to strangling each other and then tapping out when there's a submission hold applied, or the shit breaks. There's a difference between that and then, I don't know, it feels like there's a difference between getting a submission and slowly applying it, and then like eliciting the tap from a slow controlled method, like say an arm bar. You can see the arm bar coming from a mile away. You know it's gonna happen. You know it's your elbow is across their hip, and then you have like half a second to defend. And where you're caught, you can kind of, you can acknowledge that really quickly, and usually before anything breaks. But, and say the recovery time for an elbow is, I don't know, few weeks to a couple of months. Like, I still have a bad elbow from April, for example, or late March. So it's probably not going to be the same elbow, but this is kind of the assumption that we're running with as professional, quote unquote, professional grapplers who don't really get paid. Like, I kind of consider myself like I'm taking on these stakes when I compete in these higher level tournaments, like ADCC trials. These are the stakes, or EBI qualifiers. These are the stakes for a chance. So I compete in the EBI qualifier for a chance to get into the tournament that has the money. Like that qualifier tournament had no money, but it was for a chance to make money. So this is the problem that I have, is dudes are willing to put their bodies online and not get paid for it when they should have a little bit more self-respect. Like, I don't know. Like, I have a great job and health insurance. Like, that's my... I am fine if I get injured in this like semi-professional hobby of mine. I will be fine. My livelihood is not threatened if I blow my knee out tomorrow. I can still type. Or even if I like get wrist locked and I can't use one of my hands, I can still type. I can still type with one hand, or I can voice in whatever. Copy paste. I can at minimum copy paste my code. And that's like my worst case scenario is my downside is very limited compared to probably most quote unquote professional grapplers. I think that's very sad. That's why I started an entire company, Go-Go Grappling, to try to fix this problem. And it's something that I couldn't figure out, or I wasn't selling it right, or I wasn't marketing it right. And Instagram kind of came along and it did it way better anyway. So if you're like, the last time I heard, if you have like 5,000 minimum subscribers, or not followers on Instagram, you can create subscription, Instagram subscription, have people pay you to post techniques. That's great. Like, that's the point of GoGo Grappling. Somebody else came along and did it. That's fine. We don't need to exist. So I feel like grapplers have a long way to go to get the bargaining power to demand more pay. And yeah, there's quote unquote no money in grappling. Yes. There's only money for the best person in grappling, or best top 5 to 10 people are making all the money on the instructionals. But after that, it's like, hey, look, like we're so not to get super political theory here, but there's different classes involved here, right? There's the capitalists of the fanatics variety, people who own, or the promoters who own the means of making people famous. The shows, right? The tournaments, the cards, the streaming, all that is owned by like people who are way more wealthier than you and are run by boring 9-to-5ers like me. And then there's the grapplers who are like the actual, who are putting their bodies on the line. And they have no protection, like zero protection on for anything, right? So tournaments don't offer health insurance. Tournaments don't offer to fix you up if you get broken off during their tournament. Like, you sign a waiver saying, hey, like, I could die and nobody can, like, hold this tournament liable, right? Even for the professional ones, like, nobody takes care of the athletes after the tournament, as far as I know, or at least at the tournaments that I've been to. So we, as the professional grapplers, have a choice. We can be crabs in a bucket, pulling each other down, trying to get out, to only to get boiled, right? We'd get picked out and get boiled alive. Or, like, the analogy is, like, crabs try to climb over each other to get to the top of the bucket, right? And they pull each other down because they don't want others beating them in the hierarchy. Or, yes, we can prove who's better, but let's, like, take care of each other along the way. There's a choice. There's a choice to, when you have a submission, you have a choice to break something or not. Or maybe you don't even make the choice. You make the choice before you get the submission, and then you just instantly apply it and obliterate somebody's soft tissue in their joint, in their knee or in their elbow, their shoulder, forever. You can just not even think about it. You don't even think twice about it. And that person's going to go home to, I mean, if they're young, their bed on the floor, their handful of clothes in a drawer somewhere, and they're limited access to food. They don't have great quality food, like to eat their ramen or their pizza or their whatever. They don't have a ton of like protein to go around. And yeah, you've like, you may have won a match, but you've altered somebody's life forever. And yes, like, it's a combat sport. You should protect yourself at all times. I'm not saying that we don't, that we nerf the sport at all. But I am saying we can take care of each other while we're all on the same playing field. Like, people talk shit to Gordon Ryan because they're trying to get paid. And Gordon Ryan takes care of his opponents that he goes against. He doesn't crank the shit. For example, who's number one? Him versus Mateus Denise. He has a deep dead to rights inside heel hook. And he talks to Mateus Denise saying, "Hey, I have this." to whatever he said, I don't know what exactly it is, but he like gives Mateus the chance to tap. And while that's like not the sexy thing of like forcing somebody to writhe in pain, that's not the thing that, you know, fans want to see, blood and guts, and like, you know, they just want to see people get fucked up, right? That's the spectacle. But we as competitors should attempt in some way to take care of each other, because we're all on the same team, right? It's ultimately the competitors who put on the show for the promoters. Not the other way around. The promoters can have whatever show, but if no competitors show up, they don't have a show, right? So not to get like, yes, eventually you do want to be the best. Don't get me wrong. I'm not saying we all should like get participation trophies or anything like that. But I feel like there should be a, I don't know, somewhat, and I think this is what people are responding to. This is what people are reacting to. This is the gut feeling that people have, the revulsion of when they see a violent, anything like outside the norm of violence in submission grappling, anything that like makes you go, "Ooh, well, how is that legal?" Or like, how, like, not just joint locks, but like certain slams, people have questions about. And yeah, it's like we should aim for longevity. Like, everyone makes more money if there's more grapplers. Everyone makes more money if there's more competitors. Yes, you individually want to rise to the top and be the best in whatever weight class you are, and achieve whatever goals you have in ADCC and whatnot, or EBI, whatever it is. But you have a choice to take care of, you generally have a choice to, and to take care of someone as you're winning, right? Like, you should have enough control over that person to determine whether they get hurt or not. I don't know. This is just a dumb purple belt's opinion on the internet. So please fill my comments up. Please improve my algorithm. Please share this. And yeah, blow my shit up. Disagree with me, please. But what I'm trying to say, I guess, is that there's only one Gordon Ryan. There's only like five grapplers making a full-time salary or anything near like a full-time salary, like competitors. I don't know, maybe the top 25, the top 50. If you're outside of the, top 50 is stretching it, right? Just straight competition, making instructionals. The money is not in the winning of the competitions. The money is in creating content for sale, or doing seminars, or owning a gym. All of that is way more profitable than winning the competitions. Winning the competitions are just the are necessary but not sufficient for making money in grappling. So while we're trying to win competitions, let's take care of each other. Like, I'm not calling for fixed fights or fixed outcomes or teammates, like, giving each other, like, whatever, flow rolling in ADCC finals or whatever. No, I'm not asking for that. I'm asking for a gentleman's agreement. Saying, hey, look, we both know that this is our profession. That you and I, if we are in a match, we have to, on Saturday, we have to go back into the gym Monday. And if we're instructors, we have to go back and teach people with our bodies. We have to go back and say, hey, look, like, show people how to move their bodies when our bodies may be broken. So, like, I've heard that the masters divisions of tournaments, like the old guys, have this sort of gentleman's agreement. I say let's bring it down to the adult level. Because the people who are trying to make it have the same dreams as you, right? They're the same person, just in a different body, in a different, have with a different background, in a different, just a different history than you. And everyone has the same dream. So if you lock onto a submission and you know you have it, and you're slowly and controlled applying it, they'll tap. Like, don't worry. or they're knowingly let it break. But give them a chance to tap. I think that's my moral of the story is, let's have a gentleman's agreement, or gentlewomen's agreement as well, to give people a chance to tap. Let them know that, hey, you are in some deep shit right here, and we're all in this together. Like, people win and lose all the time, and largely nobody cares. Like, nobody cares how many times you lose, as long as you win at the right times. So if it's not your time to win at that point, it would help you out a lot to not have to rehab for 9 months of an ACL surgery. It would help you out a lot to, financially wise, to not have to hobble around and teach on a broken leg five classes the next week after your competition, or give up the money that you need to pay for your surgery or rehab or whatever, because you physically are unable to perform your job duties, right? So let's have a little bit of empathy for everyone, for all the competitors. Competitor to competitor, you acknowledge and you respect each other. That's why we play within a rule set. Let's add a competitor gentleman's agreement. It's the same as touching the gloves before an MMA fight. You go out, touch gloves, and you acknowledge or slap bump before a jiu-jitsu match, just as an acknowledgement. Hey, it's on, but as soon as you get something, like, we both want to compete next weekend. Like, both of us want to continue to do this to the best of our abilities. And ripping something right now isn't going to change anything. So let's try to do that. Let's try to have some respect for each other, some empathy for each other, because everyone's in a different situation. And we should, even though we're competitors, we are helping each other out by being competitors, by giving each other an opponent to face. The more opponents you face, the better you get. So let's not eliminate ourselves from competition. Everyone's on the same team. Okay, I just want to do a quick one. Hopefully, I don't know, let me know how you like this, if this is good, or if I'm just rambling. I'm trying to keep these quick and, like, not super long. But yeah, I don't know. That was just kind of my rant of the day. So let me know how it is. Like and subscribe, 5 stars, all that jazz. Oh yeah, we're sponsored by Akuzo Rash Guards. Hit up Akuzo for your clean rashies. Simple designs, look really good. So they've got shorts too. Rashies and shorts. I think they're going to do another run of shorts here too. So yeah, hit them up. Alrighty. Thank you. Thank you for listening. See you later.